The Bible says, out of the mouth of babes, thou hast ordained praise. Hallelujah! How great is the Lord! Hallelujah! Praise be to the Lord. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Can we all stand upon our feet as we learn, read the Word of God for our devotion this morning? The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. We are going to read the first 13 verses. I will read from New King James Version. Follow in whichever version that you are. This morning I want to speak on the topic, the prayer that God answers. The prayer that God answers. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Now it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on this journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me, for the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we come before you. This morning we thank you for your wonderful presence in our midst, Lord. Your word says that if two or more have gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Father, we acknowledge your presence this morning. We know that you are our Lord and Savior. There is none greater than you, Father. We want to acknowledge you, Father, Lord. And this moment, I pray for your word. I pray that you break the bread of life. Help us to, Lord, take it in that we will be eating and glorifying your name. I pray for the hearers of this word today. Bless us all. Help me to speak from your, Lord, mouth and what you have to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Lord, please be seated in the presence of God. I did not get a normal notice that I normally get for a preaching. But I praise God, because when I sat in God's presence, the Lord gave me a leading towards this topic, and I will tell you the reason why. The Lord in my spirit spoke to me that there are some people in the audience who have given up or who are disappointed because God has not answered their prayers. I don't know to whom I'm speaking to today. But God specifically said that there are some who are going to be hearing the word who are disappointed that their prayers have not been answered. And the word is for you. If you are in that situation, if you have prayed for some matter and your prayers have not been answered yet, today is the word for you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. The second thing that came to my mind is, I don't know how many of you know, this week, the Thursday, May the 1st, this country is celebrating the National Day of Prayer. The whole country is going to be praying on this Thursday. And the theme is One Voice United in Prayer, based on Romans 15 verse 6. And so I thought, maybe the topic is pretty relevant to what we are going through as a nation, because you know that this nation needs prayer, right? It needs prayer, and it needs united prayer. It needs prayer from all of us. So I hope and I pray that today's word, you will take it with you. And God will continue to minister to your hearts. And God will continue to speak to your lives, that you will know that how, what God is expecting from each one of us. Now, as we begin the passage here, we see that Jesus was praying. Very clear. Jesus was praying, and his disciples, they were looking at their master who was praying. You know, when you go through the Gospels, we see that Jesus prays a lot. Why does he need to pray? He's God himself. Why does Jesus need to pray? But Jesus has been seen praying a lot. Sometimes he goes up to the mountain by himself to pray. And he goes there early in the morning. When nobody is around, he climbs up a mountain, he sits there, and he prays to his Heavenly Father. Mark chapter 1, verse number 35, we read that portion there. Sometimes Jesus prays all night, and that he did before he chose his 12 disciples. All night he was interacting with God and he was praying. And that we read in Luke chapter 6 verse 12, where Jesus has been seen praying all night. And then we also see that if you look to Luke chapter 5 verse 16, it says that he withdrew himself to the wilderness to pray. Jesus had a very busy ministry. Wherever he went, people were flocking around him. There were crowd running for him, looking for him everywhere. He had a full-time ministry. But in the midst of his ministry, Jesus often, and I want you to underline the word that is given in this passage, Luke 5:16. Often he withdrew to the wilderness to pray. Yes. Let me talk to all the hardworking, busy people here. We need to spend more time in prayer these days, because this is what God requires from us. How many can join with me and say amen? We need more prayer in our lives. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Not only alone, but sometimes he took his disciples as well. Yes. We know that Jesus took Peter, James and John up the mountain and for prayer. To pray with them. And at that moment, he was transfigured. And we see Moses and Elijah coming and speaking to him on the mountain. So Jesus had a constant habit of praying. And the disciples, they were always seeing Jesus do a lot of things. He would preach in the Sermon on the Mount. He would teach wonderful word of God. He would heal. And he would also cast out demons. He would do a lot of things. But then they also saw that he used to pray. Yes, out of everything that they saw in the life of Jesus, they did not come to Jesus and said, Jesus, can you teach me to preach? They did not come to Jesus and say, Lord, can you show me how you do your healing ministry here? God, give me some more. How can I teach like you teach? Lord, give me some hints of a parable that I can speak. They did not come to Jesus with any of those requests. You know what they came for? Look in verse number 1. Lord, teach us to pray. Many times we take prayer for granted, and we really do not know how we can pray effective prayers to God.
Jesus.
When they made the request, Jesus did not even pause a second. Immediately in verse number 2, and he replied. It was an instantaneous reply that Jesus gave back to his disciples. You know why? Because Jesus recognized and he acknowledged that prayer is important. It is important for the disciples.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. The disciples saw Jesus, the Son of Man, was always dependent upon his Heavenly Father. He was not running an independent movement there. He was always connected with God, always dependent upon Him, always taking instruction from His Father, always asking Him, Daddy, Father, what can I do in this thing? Always communicating with His Father.
Yes.
The disciples were looking and seeing what Jesus was doing. So they came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray.
Yes.
We want to learn, Lord.
Yes.
Can you please show us how we can pray?
Yes.
Jesus is the best person to teach. How many of you agree with me?
Yes.
There is none other. Why? Because from eternal past, He has been with His Father.
Yeah.
There is no one who knows God better than Jesus.
Yeah.
And so Jesus said that you all need to pray, not little, but you need to pray more. Because prayer equals power.
Yes.
Prayer equals power.
Yes.
Less prayer means less power. But when you pray more, you get more power from God.
Yes.
This morning, I would like you to take home with you today.
Yes.
It is good to come to the church and worship Him for some time. But I want to ask you, when you go home, go back to work, busy in your everyday activities, you need to take time to go to God in prayer and get directions from God on a daily basis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what here Jesus is doing, He teaches His disciples not only the theory but the practical part of it. I have been in many churches where people recite the Lord's Prayer. That is just the theory, the surface of it.
Amen.
But if you want to go deeper and know how do God want us to pray, we need to go into the practical side of this thing.
Amen.
You know, Jesus wants us to pray.
Yes.
If you don't believe me, I know you do. Turn to John's Gospel chapter 17. John chapter 17, verses 23 and 24. When I make a statement, I make sure that the Word of God is aligning to what I'm saying.
Yes.
I am a student of the Word, so you also need to open your Bibles. Make sure that the Word is there. John 17 verse 23 says, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in My name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus is telling us to ask through prayer. And He is showing us a practical model of the way that Jesus wants us to pray to God. The starting line is when you go into the presence of God.
Yes.
The first thing that you say is, Our Father in heaven. That is how you address God.
Yes.
I'm not against many folks praying in the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. I'm not against it. But I'm telling you, God has given us a privilege not to go through some other channel, but go directly to God.
Yes.
And so Jesus says, when we pray, say, Our Father in heaven.
Yes.
Because He's our Father. To pray this prayer, you have to receive Christ and become His child in order to pray this prayer. Because John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the children of God. Not by blood and flesh, but by the will of God, to become a child of God. You have to receive Jesus in your heart. This morning I pray for any one of you seated here. If you have not received Jesus in your heart, don't go away from here without accepting Him as the Lord and Savior. So when you are a child of God, God gives you the privilege to call Him Abba Father. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, by which you cry, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, you are an heir of God through Christ. Let me tell each and every one of you, we are privileged to be children of God. Our Father is waiting for us to talk to Him and call Him Abba Father. Just like a father, a physical father, loves to hear his children talk back to him.
Yes.
Turn with me to another verse, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. It says, as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And it again says that you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, Abba Father. The Spirit itself, Himself, makes witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children of God, and we are privileged to call Him as our Father in heaven. We are God's children. We are not outsiders, let me tell you. So when we come to God's presence, start by addressing Him as our Father. Then very quickly I will tell you a few thoughts about this Lord's Prayer. That is in basically three verses. When you pray, initially pray about God's agenda, and then you pray about your agenda.
Amen.
How many of you got that?
Yes.
Initially you pray for God's agenda before you present your own agenda.
Yes.
Many times it's like a shopping list. Oh Lord, I need this, Lord. I need that, Lord. Lord, I want that. Lord, I am hungry. That's not the way that God wants us to pray. Hallelujah. Here, there are four things that we see in God's agenda that we need to pray about. Number one, recognize our relationship with God.
Yes.
Number two, that His name will be glorified.
Yes.
Number three, that His kingdom will be extended on this earth. And number four, that His will be accomplished on this world and in our lives. That God is in control. His kingdom come. He is the king who is ruling. He has authority over every area of our lives. This is God's agenda. So when you pray, pray about God's agenda first before you present your own agenda. Then there are four things in this prayer that you present your own agenda. What is that? Give us this day our daily bread. Now let me tell you one thing. This bread doesn't talk about the breakfast, lunch and dinner that you are eating every day.
Amen.
You know why? We don't need to pray about it. I'm telling you on authority of God's word. Jesus said, do not be worried about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, because your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. He is already going to give you. You don't have to pray. Does any child pray to the Father, Lord, Father, can I have breakfast today? You don't need to pray. Your father knows. He will take care of you. But when he says, give us this day our daily bread, he is speaking about the spiritual manna, the bread of life. Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Number two, Lord, you forgive my sins. Just like I forgive the sins of other people. If we are not willing to forgive others, don't come to God and say, Lord, you please forgive me. Can I get a witness here? Be willing to forgive somebody who has wronged you. You know that somebody has spoken bad about you. Be willing to go to that brother, sister, and say, I love you. I forgive you.
Yes.
When we do that and when we come to God, he will forgive our sins as well.
Amen.
Number three, we need to pray that, Lord, do not allow me to be tempted.
Yeah.
You know, Satan is like a roaring lion, always looking to put you down. We need to pray, Lord, please keep me away from the hand of this wicked one. Do not allow me to be tempted today.
Yeah.
And fourth, it says, deliver me from the evil one, which is Satan.
Yeah.
So 4 plus 4, that is the way that we need to pray as a part of a model. Now this is a model prayer. Because never after this has Jesus ever prayed this prayer. So we use this as a model. Don't use it just to recite without even knowing what it means. But use this when you pray as a model prayer. But in today, for our meditation, I want to go to the practical side of things. And I want to, for a few minutes, I want to speak about this parable that Jesus spoke about the three friends. Very interesting parable. You know, when Jesus makes an illustration, he is very specific in what he wants to say, because he wants to convey a point. So everything that is mentioned in this parable has a meaning behind it. Don't read the word of God just out of a story. God, he has a lot of things. If you can pick out the nuggets, God has got a lot of things to speak to you. Do you know that Jesus calls us friends? Do you know that? Turn with me to John 15. Again, back. John 15. John chapter 15 and 13 and 14. Jesus says like this, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And verse 15 says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You see, Jesus is our friend. And when you read this parable, I want you to think about Jesus as one of the friends mentioned in this parable.
Yes.
Now I will tell you the story of how the parable runs. There are three friends. We'll call friend number one, friend number two, and friend number three. The friend number one drops home without giving an announcement in the friend's number two house. When did he come? You know, he came late in the night. Probably about 11, 11:30. This is my imagination running here. So, friend number two had already used all the grocery, cooked the food. They had all eaten. And now this friend is knocking at the door. He opens, oh my friend. Oh, from where you came? Oh, I'm traveling. I just want to take rest. I am tired and I'm hungry also. You know, do you have something that you can lay out to eat?
Amen.
My. I hope it doesn't happen to any of our guys. The pastor doesn't turn to your home and you have nothing to give her. Be prepared all the time, okay? So what happened is friend number two was not prepared. Because when the friend number one dropped in this person's house, he did not have anything. He looked at the time, it's already 11:30. There is no 24-hour Kroger nearby, no Walmart. You know, he was in a remote place. This is my imagination again. I cannot go to the shop to buy anything for this friend. Let me think from where I can get some food for him. Because he's hungry. He's come from a journey. And so what he does, he thinks, yeah, I have a friend. I'll go to his house. So very quickly, he runs to his friend's house that I would refer as friend number three. So friend number two, for the feeling the friend number one, he's going to friend number three's house. He knocks at the door. Hey! My friend! This is myself. Can you open the door? He says, what? Man, look at the night. It's so late. Midnight. It's midnight. What time? What is happening here? And then he says, you know what? My friend, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, but I'm bothering you because my friend came to my house. He doesn't have anything to eat. I need to give him something to eat. And we see from the inside, he says, hey, I cannot come out now, right now. You know, the door is shut. As if he cannot open the door. The door is shut. I am in my bed. My children are around. One under my feet, one under my arm. I cannot disturb them. Sorry. Please go back. I cannot. And no mention about his wife. So my imagination was thinking, where did the wife go? Maybe she's working nights. The friend number three's wife was working nights, so he had all the children, one under his arm, one under this arm, one under his leg. They are all sleeping on the bed. He says, I cannot wake up my children. I cannot. But then the story does not stop there. And I'm telling you in a very simple way, because we need to understand Jesus is speaking about prayer here. When the disciples ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, he doesn't just give a theory. He's showing the practical side of how we need to pray to God.
Yes.
And in the story, the good thing is that the friend number three finally gets up. The Bible is very specific and says, not just because he's his friend, but because of his persistence. I want to examine this parable in a little more detail. I want you to take home some invaluable truths about how you can pray a prayer that God is going to answer you. Amen. Hallelujah. There are seven lessons I can give to you through this parable that you need to write down and use it in your prayer life. The first is that there is no fixed time to pray to God. There is no fixed time to pray to God. Look here in the parable, it says, purposely, this is an unearthly hour, a midnight time. I believe there is a purpose of God to put in that hour. He could have put noon or evening or morning. He just put midnight.
Yes.
You know why? Because there is no fixed time for us to go to God. If you were part of the Old Testament era, they used to pray three times every day. You can see that in Psalms 55 verses 17. When would they go? Evening and morning and noon, people would pray to God. That was the time that God had given them. An example of this, we can see in the life of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. Daniel used to pray three times to God.
Yes.
Evening and morning and noon. Just like the commandment was for the Old Testament believers to pray to God. But now, we are under a different covenant. God has opened up the time factor for us. We don't have a specific time to go to God. Hallelujah. We can go before Him anytime. And that is what God wants us to do also. Hallelujah. Look to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 18. Ephesians 6 verse 18, when he speaks about the armor of God, it says, when do you need to pray? Can someone tell me? When do we pray? Always. All the time. Not only only pray but watch as well. If you want to meet President Obama, you know how many people you need to speak through and allow you to get an appointment, even to come close to him to speak to him. Can you believe that? It's like out of the world. But God, to meet with God, you don't need any appointment. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? He tore the veil of the temple, giving us access even to the very presence of God. We can boldly go to God anytime, day or night, and bring our petitions before Him. Hallelujah. He has no visiting hours. Everybody needs visiting hours. In this country, you cannot go anywhere without, hey, can I come there? Are you free? Are you okay? With God, He is there just a call away. Number one, there is no fixed time to pray to God. Number two, we should have a good relationship with God to get our prayers answered. You know, everybody prays. Let me tell you, even the atheists, they also pray sometimes without knowing. I heard a story about an atheist coming for a debate with a Christian scholar. So he didn't expect this question, but somebody asked him, can you tell me the name of the book that Charles Darwin wrote, The Origin of the Species? Can you give me the full name of that book that their greatest leader, Charles Darwin, has written? He thought for a minute. It was a long name. He said, oh my God, I cannot remember that. He has to call to God to remember the name of the book that this man has written to prove that God does not exist. My God! Everybody prays like that. That is not the prayer that God wants from you. Hallelujah. You know, you need to have a relationship that is pretty strong. Why I am saying that? In this parable, let's come back to the parable. The friendship between friend number two and friend number three is very strong. That is why he decides to go at that hour. Because he's known, you know, he's my friend. He said one day, I'm ready to die for you. I can do anything. So he said, oh, my relationship is very good with this person. And number two, when he comes to this door, he doesn't hide anything. Do you see what he says there? He says, you know what? A friend of mine has come. I have nothing to set before him. When you come to God's presence, you should bear out your soul. Don't hide anything. Don't mask your feelings like you do with your friends in this earth. You can open out your heart and let God know your feelings. Let Him know your feelings. You don't need to hide anything from God. Don't be proud when you come to God's presence. Take away your false pride. God will be presence in humility. Say, Lord, I cannot do anything more in this matter. I need your help, Lord. I am done trying. I have done everything that I can do. I cannot do anything more. Hallelujah. Have a strong relationship with Jesus. Through prayer and through reading from His Word. Look to Psalm 66, verses 18. There are some times that God is not going to answer your prayers. One of the times is when you have sin in your heart. When you have sin within you, God is not going to answer your prayers. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, my God will not hear me. Number two, for the husbands, only for the men here, okay, the husbands. Husbands, if you don't give honor to your wives, God is not going to hear your prayers. Don't stone me now. Don't throw anything at me. I am speaking to you on the light of God's word. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. Message for all the husbands. Maintain a good relationship with your wife. Give her honor when she is due for honor. You dishonor your wife, you go to God, you say, hey, I don't want to hear from you anymore. Man, you go give honor to your wife, because I have joined her with you to help you in your journey of life. Don't put her down. And number three, if you don't do His commandments, God will not hear your prayers. John chapter 15 verse 14 says, you are my friends if, underline that if, John 15 verse 14, what does it say? You are my friend if you do what I say, if you obey my commandments. So we need to be obedient to God. We cannot have sin in our lives. And husbands need to give honor to your wives. Let me quickly run. The time is going off. Number three. The third thing is that our dire need should drive us to God for help. Because of the need of the hour, that should drive us to God. See, in the Middle Eastern culture where I have lived for about 7 years, if somebody comes to your home, you have to give him some food. It is understood.
Yeah.
You have to lay something before that person. That is the part of the culture.
Yeah.
A good example in the Bible is in the case of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, when God and two angels came to Abraham. You know what did Abraham do? He said, stay there, let me go. And then he got cakes and he got meat and he got butter and he got milk. He got something for the strangers who had come to his home. In the Middle Eastern culture, this is a need. Let me give you a personal example. A couple of weeks ago, me and my wife, Monday evening, we went for a prayer meeting, and then we heard that a family, they're an old couple, she's not well, so we went to visit with that family. He's not well, actually. It was about close to 9 o'clock, so the moment we stepped into the door, we said, look, please don't bother for food, we have food at home. And we made it very clear. But you know what? She would not have it. She said, no way you're going now from my house without eating. So she forced us. She forced us to eat food from there. Why? It's a part of the culture. It's part of the culture. Look at this friend. His friend has come on a journey. He has to give him food. He has to feed him. So he knows it's a need and he's running to the other friend's house. You know what the word of God says? We need to go to God in the time of our need. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. What does it say there? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace when? To help in time of need. When do we go to a friend? In times of need. You can go boldly. You don't need to be waiting on the door. You can just run inside the home. Run to His presence. That is what the word teaches us.
Yes.
This morning, let me tell you that. Number four. The fourth point I want to make here. Our prayers should be specific. I'm sorry. Our prayers should be specific. Why do I say that? Look at this parable. What does he ask? Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Not 4. Not 2. He doesn't say, Lord, you know, Lord. He speaks. It's a lot of time. It's part of the culture. You ask a question, you will never get the answer. You will go round and round and round and round and round. What is the answer to the question? When you go to prayer, there is nothing that you properly lay before God. Our needs, our prayer should be specific.
Yes.
Because when you get an answer, you can recognize that God has given you the answer.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let your needs be specific.
Yes.
And let God know your needs. Number five, we should expect discouragement when we pray.
Amen.
Why? Why do I say that? Look here. Verse number 7. The friend inside, he says, number 1, the door is shut. Number 2, I am already on bed. Number 3, my children don't want to be disturbed. So what is the immediate reply that he got? Look there. Verse number 7. I cannot rise and give to you. The immediate answer that he receives is that sorry, no way man, I am in the bed, don't disturb me, it's a late hour. I want to speak a word to some of you. You have prayed for some things, God has not answered it yet. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying because your answers are not yet there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't stop praying.
My God, yes.
Continue to persist. And that is what this friend does. He won't listen to their answer. He would continue to say, my friend. So that is my next point. Number 6. When discouragement comes, we should keep on asking.
Amen.
We should keep on asking. When my children were small, especially our little one, there was a TV channel that they used to watch called Arthur. How many of you know Arthur?
Yes.
She learned something from Arthur when she was very small. If she needs something, she would come to me and say, please, 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 daddy, please, that please, you know. After some time you get bothered, you know, I say, too much please. So long, and you'll think, oh my, I have to give her. She's asking too much. This man said, please, please, don't discourage me. He continued, and then his friend says, you know what? He did not give him because his friend was asking, but he says in verse number 8, because of his persistence, he will give him what he is asking. So keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. In Luke chapter 18 verse 2 onwards, we see the persistence of a widow before a judge. And there Jesus teaches another parable that you need to be persistent and keep on praying and asking God till you get the answer.
Yes.
Until the door is opened and the need is met. The final one, and I'm going to close here. The seventh lesson. Delayed prayers or obstacles are meant for better answers for us.
Amen.
When the answers of your prayers get delayed, know that the answer that is going to come, that will be a better answer than what you're praying for.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If your answer is delayed, you should know that God is doing something better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why do I say that? Look at verse number 8. The last part. The friend does not even give him 3 loaves. Maybe he needed 5 loaves actually. But he was being a little modest. He said, give me 3. But the friend gave him as much as he needs. Until the need was met. But better still, look at the next passage, and I want to close here. The
answer is mentioned in a much more clearer way in verses 9 to 13, where Jesus says that if your son, or if we ask a son, ask a father for a bread, a fish or an egg, these are legitimate needs.
Yes.
Do we know what God is answering with that? Look at verse number 30. He says about us asking for bread, for fish and for egg. But what does God give back as an answer? Does He give back bread and fish and egg? What is it written? There is no mistake of the Lord to write this part. Let me tell you, all of you who are sitting here, look how much more will your Heavenly Father give what?
The Holy Spirit.
Give the Holy Spirit. When we ask God for small things, God gives us what we need. What do we need? We need the Holy Spirit. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Why? Because we don't know how to pray. Why do I say that? Turn to Romans chapter 8 verse 26, and I'm going to close with this. We do not know what we should pray for, but who helps us with prayer? The Holy Spirit helps us with our prayers, with groanings that cannot be uttered. We don't know what we need to pray for, but the Holy Spirit knows what we need. Today, let me ask you this. Do you know what we need? We need the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
How much do we need? It is a proportion of how much we pray.
Yes.
Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 to 5 speaks about the healing water that comes out of the temple.
Yes.
You step into the water, and that water is significant of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. So, when you step into the water, you can be ankle deep.
Yes,
my God.
You can be knee deep.
Yes.
You can be waist deep.
Yes.
Or it can be too deep.
Yes.
That you cannot even stand in the presence of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Today, what we need more in our lives? We need a time of prayer, and we need a powering of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This afternoon, this is what the Word of God comes to you and tells you. We need the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. As we meditate on this, the prayers that God answers. If you have given up on praying about a certain need, today the answer is, don't give up. Continue to persistently knock at the door. God will have a better answer for you. And we need to get deeper and deeper and have the Holy Spirit lead us, empower us, fill us, and take us to places that He wants us to go. This morning I want to call out a challenge to the people here. Number one, if you have never accepted Christ in your heart, I want to tell you that today, if you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you repent and believe that Jesus died for you, He is ready to do that. But I believe that a lot of you are already saved people here. I want to ask you this, how is your prayer life? How much time do you spend in God's presence in prayer? We are all guilty of it. I want you to stand up on your feet right now, as the musicians are going to play. Today,
By faith, can you step out and say, Lord, I want you to improve my prayer life. Can you say before God, Lord, I want to improve my prayer life. If you want to totally consecrate before God, I want you to step out of your feet by an act of faith and say, Lord, I need to pray more. I need to pray more. If you think in your life, as you heard today's message, Lord, I need to pray more. Can you step out of your seat? I don't know if you do that here as a normal procedure. I didn't ask the pastor. Is it okay? Please step out of your seat. Come to the front. This is a time that you want to give yourself to God. And you want to say, Lord, I want to come closer to you, Lord. I want the presence and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon my life in such a way that you will be leading me to greater areas of ministry, Lord. Lord, I want you to improve my prayer life, Lord. Help me to feel the burden of coming to your presence, Lord, every day and coming close to you. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Consecrate, close your eyes and call out to the name of the Lord. We are going to pray, the elders and the pastors are going to pray for you. Hallelujah. But I want you to make a decision today before you leave. Lord, I want to pray the prayers that you're going to answer me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that you touch, Lord, your daughter. Lord, you touch, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, make it a prayer warning before you. Jesus, you can do greater things, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I pray. Lord, you touch, Lord. Change him from inside out, oh Father. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my brother, Lord. Touch him, Lord, hallelujah. Make him a prayer warrior before you, Lord, hallelujah. Lord, you touch Father. Do something amazing in his life, Father, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, Father, I pray for you, touch him, Lord, and use him, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord God Almighty, Father, you bless me, Lord. Hallelujah.